Call it.
Heads for gravy.
Tails for Toasty again. We can't. But that's okay because Toasty brought his A game.
Ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's have some fun, Joseph underscore Art. Why are you a programmer extraordinaire tonight?
Because I'm just amazing. That's all.
Today's the 20th. You didn't put a question of the week. So I guess the question of the week
there was a Let Daddy Decide. You said you were going to pull an audible.
I did. You can type it in, but there's no question. I actually got the question there. You know what? I guess I can read in between the lines, Joe. Unprofessional behavior, sir. Is my problem.
Wow.
I could. Am I the butt face?
Wait. Am I the butt face?
Maybe yes, Charles, you are. Maybe why don't you scroll up and look at the question of the week? It's been there the whole time.
It was not, because I could read between the lines. The question of the week is, what does Charles need for his new studio? I can tell you, LEDs for these bad boys behind me. I've got the light tower built again. It's in a different format. I'm not happy with the symmetry of it. Because honestly, it should be shifted over just a little bit. When it does, it leaves weird gaps with the window. I'm having difficulties with my ADD and OCD getting happy with it. But Deadpool head is there. I got Ludo up here at the top from Labyrinth. I got Bob Ross, Deadpool. I got a few things up and out, and I'm very happy about that. Starting to feel more like a studio now. Oh, look, you did put in a question all of a sudden. Yeah.
It's the question of the week.
All right, Joe, what's the worst? Ooh, buddy, this is a bad one. What is the worst thing you did as a kid?
Oh, man. Do you have one, or are you asking me?
I depends on statute of limitations, I think. And how you define worst.
Oh, man. Okay, so as a kid, I didn't do like anything crazy bad, but so we got home from church and my dad handed me his scriptures and said, hey, go put them in my room. And me being lazy, I walked over and I tossed them onto his bed. My parents at the time had a waterbed, okay?
Okay.
And their headboard had a mirror on it. And the scriptures...
Dad never fails to amaze. He just does it.
The scriptures bounced off the waterbed...
Of course!
...into the mirror...
Which then?
...and shattered it.
And then?
It didn't pop it then... I know that their waterbed popped at one point, and I don't know if it was. It could have been my fault. A fragment that was there that finally did its job.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers and three sisters.
Yeah, there's Joe. It didn't pop because of you, man. I'm telling you right now.
So, in my dad's defense, he's
I wish I'd met your dad. I really wish I'd met him.
In general, he had a pretty short temper, but maybe it was because we just got back from church, but he took it really, really well. And I was expect like I went to him like dog, head down, tail down. And I was like, Dad, I broke your mirror. He's like, he just kind of took a moment to process. What? And I'm like, I broke your mirror. And so he came back to his room and looked, and he just, I don't know if he was just too stunned to be angry, but after he processed everything, he kind of, I don't think I even got in trouble for it, to be honest. And this was, my dad would, he would ground me at the drop of a hat. And so I was just completely surprised that I don't remember getting punished at all. And for that particular moment, but I felt so bad because, yeah, I shattered that mirror, shattered it good.
I don't want to follow that. That's the worst thing you did as a kid.
I mean, as a kid, yeah. In general, I was a pretty good kid.
Well, there's some stories.
As a teenager now, I one time got so angry at my sister, I threw a tennis racket at her. I missed, but it did put a hole in our bathroom door.
There's some stories I can't tell due to the rating of the show. Dude, if that's the worst, God help me. Because you know,
I mean, I guess it depends on how you define worse.
Well, I'll tell you my story.
My first kiss was when I was 6 years old, but I think I've told that story here.
Oh, come on. That's just a little kid
neighbor,
thing.
Yeah. But yeah, the neighbor girl was like, hey, I'll give you a bucket of red vines to kiss my sister. I was like, all right.
I mean, Phil might give me that at freaking Dragon Con. I'll kiss his sister at Dragon Con for a bucket of red vines.
All right. I'll pass that message on to Phil. Tell him to bring his sister in a bucket of red vines.
That's who should be watching right now, I'd imagine. Dude, just you are so innocent. It's not even funny, man. It's so cool. But okay. So, I got to preface everything with literally grew up in the church. I know I've said that a few times, but you know, just to rehash, is literal is every time the doors were open, I had to be doing something in the church, you know, meetings, had to stay late and wait on my dad and mom. I mean, just anything that you could ever think went on in a church you grew up with that you could be sick and not go, or you didn't have to stay for the meetings, or your parents just didn't feel like whatever. Not here. Mission, you know, senior trips, I mean, senior citizen stuff, mission stuff, revivals. Okay. So lots of damage, lots of lack of control in my life. All right. All right. Just painting a picture here. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me on my show. One of the things I truly have very few regrets in my life. One of the things I truly regret in my life is this neighborhood dog kept coming over, nice as could be, just kept coming over to our yard. And I just was in a foul mood and a bad spot and was digging. I don't remember why I was digging a hole in the backyard, but I'm digging a hole in the backyard, right? 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever. And I'm digging a hole in the backyard. And the dog wouldn't leave. And I kept trying to tell it to go, get out of here. You know, like the TV, get out of here. And I was using a metal hoe. And so I kind of threw the metal hoe at it. And uh-oh. I don't really know where it hit it, but homie took off. Yep, 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 yep. And instantly I was like, oh, I'm going to hell. I felt bad. I felt really bad. So there's that one. Then when I was 14, 15, again, literally 50 yards from the church, and control issues, bad things, all this jazz. What was the stupid thing the Baptist Church always collected for? As a woman's name about missions. I can't think of it right now, but
okay.
I just got tired of it. There's a reason I was bringing it up, but it's this thing that they always gave to, and you nobody ever saw results. You know, like your money just went out and you barely got any kind of what happened with it back. So everybody pushed these drives to collect money, whatever. But here's the thing when I started learning about hypocrisy. Now, I don't really regret this. I admit it was wrong. And that's why it's one of the worst things I've done as a child. But I don't regret it, really. But I learned about hypocrisy because they would collect this money and they wouldn't do anything with it. They'd let it sit and collect dust, or somebody would take it, or you know, went out and you never knew where it went to. That's about the time I started getting into comic book collecting. And so I would go and climb in through a window, even though I could go in through a door and stuff. I just wanted to climb through a window because I felt, you know, more like I was a thief or a spy or something. Going through the window, go to the missions offering bucket in this one classroom that was a bunch of kids. There had been like $200 in there. $200. I'll tell you about my shirt since you pointed it out. We'll talk about it later. And I would just take out like 10 or 20 bucks. Now you can get comics for $1, $1.50. You know, the expensive one was $4. And I have one of those when it came out. You know, it's actually worth 50 now. But so I would take $5 to $10 out of the time and ultimately built a pretty sizable comic book collection with the offering missions money from that classroom. However,
sounds like you put it to better use than they were.
I'm just saying, I mean, Jesus doesn't need my comic books, but besides that, no, I mean, in all seriousness, nobody ever asked about it. You know, cause my parents would talk about stuff at the dinner table. So I knew all the business at the church. I knew all the dirt that was going on or the accusations because they were discussing it, or the deacons would come to the house to discuss it. And it's like any house, you hear things. Nobody ever noticed it was gone. Nobody ever said, hey, what's going on with this money? Nobody ever tried to accuse anybody of anything. It's like it never happened.
So in other words, there really wasn't any accounting on it.
There was none. I didn't realize I was learning that at the time, but I realize that now. Still not right. But that's what I say, Joe. And there's stories I cannot tell you live on the show because it goes into materials that, I mean, it's not, I'm not Phil or anything, but it goes into materials that you it'd be like road trip stories and not necessarily, you know, inviting to the whole family story. Although I've kind of poo-pooed on Baptist missions, but you know, I can't please everybody, and you sure can't please any Baptist. So so you see why I'm asking you, Joe, why that's the worst is you broke your parents' mirror. Look, I threw a Transformer piece across the room like a batarang, thinking it'd be a batarang. It hit an actual oil painting that my mom owned and put a gash in it. Not a huge tear, but a noticeable dent in it. Denied it. To this day, I denied it. My mom brought it up like 4 Christmases ago. I was like, y'all ever remember that painting? And me and my sister went, nope. No, we don't. that you broke a mirror I stole from Jesus. And that's the story I'm telling you. And I beat a dog with a hoe. I don't know. I didn't really beat him. Enough incrimination, Joe. Cheesy. Allah Akbar.
Roll that dice.
Your face got so big.
5. Already with the
commercial. Okay, now you got to re-roll. We can't get a commercial break yet. That's too
all early. Right. Number 1.
Yeah.
You didn't put anything in there for number what 1, but I suspect
what are you nerding out about
now? Oh, no, hot gravy. It is not your turn. You go back to your corner. Toasty is bringing it, and he's the best.
Nerds.
What am I nerding out about? You know what I'm nerding out about. I don't have to put it in here. I got pictures and everything. So you didn't mention my shirt. Yes. So when the song WAP came out, that's all I'm going to say. Y'all can explain it to your kids or not. But when that song came out, it blowed up. It blowed up all over the world, man. And
it went boom.
We were doing Giant Size Team Up Network. And I got with Tony. I was like, man, this would be a great t-shirt. He has a meme of Robin smacking Batman, you know, or Batman smacking Robin, rather. You remember that meme went around and his smack or pow. And so me and Tony discussed it because we thought it'd be a huge seller. It sold a few, but yeah, I was trying to capitalize on the song exploding. So yeah, it is Catwoman slapping Batman and it says WAP as the there's a name for words that make sounds. I can't remember what it is, but. So I know that's it. That's the sound. There's a name describing this. Anyway, do you want me to talk about my 4-hour experience, or do you want to talk about whatever this crap is?
Go for it. In? So. No, go for it.
All right, dude. So this is all your fault. You can take credit or you can take fault on it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So we've been talking Demon Slayer quite often, and Zoe and I are into the entertainment district. This one, we just got to, we're trying to watch the third episode today of the Entertainment District arc, and technical difficulties, my speakers weren't working right, whatever. So I say all that to say, the first season, if you will, is 26 episodes, which is a perfect amount of episodes for me. They have not done that since. But the second season is the Mugen Train arc, and that's really a movie that was cut up really well. Once they cut up, they actually really cut it well.
Yeah, well, they cut it up, and then they added some extra
I thought they stuff. Might, yeah. Yep. And now Entertainment District might have been done the same way. It's hard to tell if it was cut up or it was episode. But it's longer than Mugen, but it is definitely not 26. It's 11 episodes versus 26. I think yeah, Mugen was like seven, that. Six or seven. So the other night, quite literally a little over a week ago at this point, I think Zoe was going to look at AMC to see about some movie coming out because we have the A-list, so we try to go to movies each week to use our passes and whatnot. And she opened it up, and I heard her say something about Demon Slayer. I'm like, what? Now, I didn't know she'd just gone look at a movie, so I thought she'd seen something that was an ad. But sure enough, there you see live-action people in front of the Demon Slayer logo on this great black background. They did a great advertising poster for it. And it says Demon Slayer live. Or Demon Slayer, I never say it right. Kitsimu no Yaiba? Yaiba, I don't know.
I never even try to pronounce the Japanese.
But has a which I looked it up, which is Blade for Slayer, for Blade for Killing Demon, or Blade, you know, Demon Killing Blade, or something like that. I looked it up today to see what it meant. And so it's Demon Slayer, Blade Slaying Demons, or something. So I thought that was the name of the first season because it says it's a live reading. It's a Fathom event, which, by the way, Joe, you should have gone. You should have gone. I mean, it was 4 hours on a Tuesday night, but it would have been worth your time. All the Fathom events I've gone to, I have loved. Okay, I see. But it is separated on Netflix. Thank you for putting that in. Mugen and Entertainment are the same or whatever. But I guess it depends on how you consume it. Because on Netflix, it is just season one, and then Mugen, and then Entertainment. And they haven't added Unresolved or anything yet.
Yeah, well, and it's weird that apparently they're clumped into a single season because they have their own very distinct beginning and end.
Yeah. So, well, you know what? So did season one. About halfway through, it felt like it ended, and here comes another 13 episodes or so.
That's true.
Because when they went to met the Demon Slayer Master, I can't remember the name of the. I always call it Heaven, right? But when they got captured by the Hiroshima. Said, no, that's not right.
The Hashiras?
Hashiras, thank you. That was basically the start of the second part of season one. And then you get a lot of story out of that. So she found this thing, and she's all excited. I'm telling everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice, if there's something that you might be interested in, that's a Fathom event, Fathom, F-A-T-H-O-M, Fathom event, go. Go. I've been to The King and I, which is a musical that I was like, okay, my wife really want to see it. Excellent. And it turned out some of my favorite actors were actually doing it, and I didn't realize they were going to be doing the live Broadway show. If you've watched on Disney Plus, if you watched Hamilton, it's like that, but better, way better, because you're in the big screen, but it's shot in certain, the Fathom events are shot in a way to make you feel like you're in the audience, yet at the same time getting the best angles that you wouldn't get from the audience. It feels very inclusive. So this is a Fathom event. So I can't use my passes on it, but it is a live reading of the, with the animations playing behind by the original Japanese voice actors. Like, this sounds cool as crap. And Zoe was super excited. Well, I say super excited. I think we found it on a Thursday, maybe a Friday. Oh, yeah. No, Demon Slayer is way better than Hamilton. Hamilton first act, all right. Demon Slayer all acts, great. So, you know, I'm sorry. Just Hamilton doesn't have two acts in him, but he tried. So, anyway, painting the picture here. we knew it was going to be in Japanese, so it's going to be subtitled, which I told her. I was like, look, that's the only way I really enjoy my kung fu is if I'm reading it. You know, I told her, she's like, I don't want to read. I know, right? I know what it sounds like. But she's, I don't really want to read your whole lot. I was like, no, listen. When you hear them in their native language doing the role, there's an energy there that you can feel differently than when they dub it over. And so I was prepping her for it. And we had to go to a theater that's about 40 minutes away. It was a really nice theater. I've been there a couple of times. And we got there early because I did not want to be late. You know, we wanted to catch it all. So it was supposed to start at 7. We got there about 6:30 and got our popcorn and some drinks and kind of walked around. Went and sat down. 7 o'clock rolls around. And by the way, of course, it's an event, so there's no previews. There's no. It's just lights on, black screen, and that's it. So people are filing in. Some people were cosplay. It was just a very cool group that came to see this because it's a very niche thing.
Yeah.
7:15 comes around. So I go ask the person out front. I walk all the way back out front. And say, hey, man, the Demon Slayer event, it ain't rolling. It's supposed to start at 7. It's at 7:15. Oh, it takes like 21 to 22 minutes to get started. I'm like, okay. So I did the Dragon Con thing. I came back in like the director. All right, everybody. I just went and asked about it. They said it takes 21, 22 minutes. I don't know if that means we're going to wait till 7:30. I don't know, but I asked everybody. Oh, thanks. Okay. We sit down. 7:30 comes. Nothing. 7:40 comes. That's when I'm on Discord messaging Joe going, this is Joe's fault. We're staring at a black screen. You know, Demon Slayer. 7:45 or so, it fires up. And I started putting some pictures. I didn't do a lot of pictures, but I was like, oh my goodness. I wasn't thinking goodness, but I caught myself. Oh my goodness. Dude, not intentionally, because we just like to sit kind of in the upper front rows. This is how we, no matter what theater it is, kind of in a flat theater, you know, a standard theater, it's right behind the handicap seats, right? There's a rail. And it gives me a little bit more leg room because I can put my feet through the rail if I need to. I can prop my legs up, all that stuff. So I like sitting there in any theater. Well, this particular theater, I was literally up and sideways, dead center of the screen. And so I took a picture of that. And when it came on, it's, I forget the name of the festival. I'm not even going to try, but it celebrates Demon Slayer. And here's what I figured out about the, I believe it's Japanese culture that did this one. The Japanese, you know how big Game of Thrones was here?
Yeah.
And even Sherlock, right? We didn't do Sherlock in America, but there's little Sherlock conventions just for that show, right? That's how good anime is there because this thing, I mean, when they came out, it was amazing. The original voice actors were amazing. They all sound, I know it sounds dumb when I say this, but they sound better. I understand what dubbed is. I understand that you're getting English-speaking people to recreate roles. They did really well. The dub is very close to the originals, but there's just something about the originals. Zenitsu, little yellow-haired Thunder Boy. I love Entertainment District. Or not Entertainment. I love the Mugen.
He's asleep the whole time.
Yeah. Yo, he's so cool when he's asleep. But Boarhead Boy, Yellow Haired Boy, I'm like, oh, I'm that Hashira. He didn't remember none of their names ever. He didn't call my name at all. I loved it.
Rengoku.
Yeah.
I like Rengoku.
Mr. Awesome. Rengoku.
That's right.
They
call me Mr. Rengoku.
But you know, Zenitsu is always that really high pitch annoying. All the time. The real actor, his tone is actually a good half octave down, so it's not nearly the emotions there, the stress is there, the high pitch is there, it's just not nearly as annoying. I'm like, ah. Now I will say Inosuke, who is my spirit anime, I love him to death. He's the best. He cracks me up. The original, great, but I actually think I liked the energy on the dubbed guy a little bit better.
Okay.
It's just a little, maybe because it's a little bit more Americanized. So instead of going over the top, like Zenitsu is over the top Japanese. It's that extra energy, extra high pitch. And that's kind of in my experience typical of the Japanese culture in cartoons and anime and that stuff. So I think Inosuke is probably more on the dub version, more Americanized, westernized, because he's that over the top, you know, strong guy. Word for word, though, they didn't change anything. So here's the other part. I won't go on too far. The pictures are in our Discord and, They still have to go to Patreon to go to our Discord. So I'll try to put up some pictures. Maybe I can share a little of my experience on TikTok or something. We'll put it out there. And I'm not trying to copyright. I just wanted to capture the experience a little bit because it's 4 hours, not quite 4 hours, it's almost 4 hours. So they did two recordings. And one day they did the Mugen Train arc. So they did a lot of it. They took a break and the actors talked to each other on stage, like sat, took a break, talked about the what we'd call a con, right? The convention or whatever, the festival. Apparently they recreated, even though these are anime, not real sets, they recreated the sets that you could go into the Mugen Train and you could touch some of the demon stuff. And you could see, they said even where the ticket guy was taking the tickets, there's little ticket punches on the ground. And the actors, like, they just went so amazingly over the top on this thing. to the point that every hour the train whistles and blows out steam and all this stuff. And so they're just talking about their experience and how it had been a while because COVID, basically, hadn't been able to be together and that kind of thing. 4,500 people in that audience were there for that recording. The next day, when they did an entertainment district, for another 4,500 people, sold out crowd. Plus, they had a grand total of 20,000 people between the audience and streaming watching this thing. I'm like, this is phenomenal. I can't imagine. I literally cannot imagine. What's one of my favorite? Supernatural. They had a Supernatural convention. I did not go. However, I'm already kind of in the back of my head going, I wonder how much it'd be for tickets to fly to Japan to wherever they're hosting this for the next one to be there. hopefully Google Translate will be able to keep up with it live. But the set was all out. So
they'll just have the Google Glasses out already and they'll translate and put the subtitles right to your eye.
There's a, what was it called in Babelfish? There's a Babelfish out there. I mean, I think they call their company named that after the Hitchhiker's Guide, but it's supposed to be able to, it's still prototyped or whatever, but it's supposed to take real time language and just translate it into your language. Anyway, gorgeous set. It is absolutely the main house that they're at now all the time with sliding doors and the porch and whatnot. There's a roof up there, but of course on the roof is a catwalk that you can't quite see. And this ginormous screen, and it's so massive. Like the last shot, I think I posted in Discord because I wanted to catch the effects to show you that. Really, it's all for you, Joe. I just put it in Discord for everybody else to see, but I really was taking a picture of you. But you see the guy that looks like a little toy soldier next to the screen. And then they had the Mugen Train off to the side as well for that part of the episode. So there's three stages. There's the front stage of the, where they stood out in front of the house a lot to do their reading. Then there's on top of the house in front of the screen. And then there's right over the train. And they tell the story. You've been to like a church reenactment of Easter or a Christmas story where somebody, sure. It's the South, right? You and I live in the South. So it's like, sit down, everybody, and I'm going to tell you the story of this little guy that maybe was a carpenter that one day grew up to be somebody you might know. His name was Jesus. You know, now I'm mocking that because Stone Mountain, all that jazz. But that's basically what they did, except they, of course, they did original character voices. And they're like, oh, you know, it's like they just got back from the battle. And so there's a, hey, remember what happened or remind me what happened? So they start telling each other the story. Then it goes into reenactment. So it's definitely not word for word all six episodes of Mugen arc, right? It is very much the highlights, but it's told in a different way. They didn't change anything, but just the way they changed how they told the story and then reenacted it and showed it on the screen. And they're doing the voices and the grunts and the yes and all that. It was phenomenal. They had fire on the stage. So whenever Mr. Rengoku was doing anything, I mean, it's just lighting the screen. Of course, the voice actor from Rengoku was there. By the way, he had his hair done yellow. Like his actual hair was done yellow with the fire tips. And he had the robes. Nezuko was fully Nezuko. And Nezuko, let me tell you, here's her lines. Yeah. All right. Of course, she doesn't have the mouthpiece in because she's doing her thing. But she had everything else. So they did great with the costume. It was so much fun. So that was a good hour and a half, the 2 hours for Mugen. Oh, nobody expected this. You know how they have an opening theme and a closing, a different closing theme for each arc, right? So the entry yep. song is different than what they play in the credits. I think this is also an inference from what I was learning from watching them, but I think that is a really big deal in anime to get a big pop culture, which Japanese pop culture is more like our alt rock here, you know, kind of hard rock. You know, you think 90s, right? Nirvana. That's kind of Japanese pop culture at some points. It's not the bubblegum pop, but it's definitely a lot of electric guitars, but a cute girl singing in cute tones out in front of that. I know you've heard the songs. The bands that made those songs played live. Well, I mean, for that recording.
Oh, you know? Nice.
Yeah. So it's like it gets to this halfway point, and then it just kind of goes dark on the screen, and then boom, there she is, and the crowd's going crazy. And on, you know, the recording, the crowd's going crazy. And they just play the song, and me and Zoe's like, oh, that's really cool. And then later when the actors talk about it, they were so there. It's a mutual admiration, right? Because it's never live action. So they hardly see each other. I mean, they do see each other, but they hardly see each other when they're recording. And then when it's done, it's done. The band never sees them. And then, of course, it airs later, and everybody watches it and becomes big and whatever. So the bands and them met for the first time, and they were saying how great the musicians were and how basically, oh my, we're huge fans, you know, geeking out. The band was geeking out on them. They were geeking on the band. It was so much fun. So we get through that, and it is so sad. They didn't drag out the sadness, but it was very sad. Of course, when Rengoku sunsets, no one died today. So then it fades out. It does the credits, shows, you know, all the actual credits for the actors, and then comes back up with Entertainment District, and there.
So did you get a bunch of spoilers then for Entertainment District?
Yes and no. So yes, I know how it ultimately ends, and we got to, and that's the beauty of it. So they build the story, they tell the story, how they tell it with these high moments and fun and entertaining bits. And Inosuke had a ad-libbed part.
Inosuke,
whatever. had this ad-libbed part. You know, he's always trying to exercise, and later in the season, right, he's pushing Zenitsu and all that, right? So they were supposed to do some kind of exercise, and he made him do some jumping jacks. And he's like, big like bear, but he's a bear. The bear is chasing a bunny. Now hop like a bunny. And they start hopping around. And I'm like, I don't remember that, but I don't remember everything. But it kind of it fit with the show, everything it fit. And then the main character, I just lost his name. I said everybody's name.
Tanjiro.
Right. Tanjiro. Tanjiro had left to go get ready to go off on this mission. So he came back, and they're like, they had to say the lines like three times over because they couldn't get their breath, and they're laughing and they couldn't catch their breath. And so when they did the break, he's like, what was that? Apparently they rehearsed all these other different exercises. And then right before the show, the director came up to Inosuke and said, just do whatever you want. And so he's like, oh my God, now I've got to come up with something. And just in the moment, he did the bear and the rabbit, and they were both going, oh, we never knew how hard hopping was. Yeah, I regretted it immediately. And the biggest thing was Tanjiro. Got it. Everybody's an ooh and an oh and an e and a ah. Yeah. So Tanjiro, right before they asked you, how long had you been standing there? Because he was just standing off stage to enter, you know, the set. And Inosuke could see him. But Zenitsu couldn't, the way they were facing. And Zenitsu was the one bouncing most of the time. And Inosuke said, the second I said something about rabbit and I turned, I saw the green. Because I couldn't quite see him, but I could see the green. And jumping up and down, he's like, yeah, at one point, and he just waited because he was laughing so hard at them jumping up and down. He waited to come out. So then they had to catch. So it was a great improv moment. All that. So they tell the basic of the story to get you set up. They take their break, and when they come back, they do the most intense ending battles that you get in the last two episodes or so. And they do it, and they do it live, and the effects are amazing. Like the huge square with the actual animation, but then all this extra Demon Slayer type art with the flames going out and the lightning. And it is so amazing and so cool. So yes, when we did Entertainment District, we'd already seen some of it. So they hit the high points of what we'd seen. They obviously left out a lot of details because certain things started happening. It was like, how did we, not story-wise, how did we get there, but how power-wise did we get there? So, then I got to watch the intense final, but it was very good. Neither one of us feel gypped because it's just a different experience. So I told her, we're going to go back. We're going to watch the season like we would. We're going to get all the details to fill in some of the questions we have, and we're going to re-enjoy the ending battle. Because that battle, it got so good. I'm disappointed because both of us thought it was going to be the first season because it didn't say they were going to do these arcs. It just said a live reading, and it just put up the original logo without the extra. So I thought it was going to be the first season. So we're like, oh, I want to see him do the whatever they call it, the Monster Mountain where he proved himself, and the Flipping House. Yep. And I just want to see all these demon battles because they were so good. And the Spider Forest. Oh, I want to see that. And then, of course, we didn't get any of that. So super awesome. Zoe was so excited to go. She was so excited to see it. I had a great time. And apparently I've talked too much because Joe said we should skip his. So you should have gone. You should have gone in your area. I'm telling you.
Oh man. Yeah, no, it so sounds good. Like it was just fantastic. And I have definitely turned you into a Demon Slayer fanboy.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I will listen to just about any recommendation you give. Because that one, I was like, I don't know. Why do you want to watch it? And you told me. And you're right. I love the more you get into it, the character arcs and the redemptions and the everything is so positive. I mean, Tanjiro is basically who I want to be. I've been talking about lately on my channels becoming gratitude. Not having gratitude, but becoming gratitude. And that's just who he is, right? That's how the character is just drawn and scripted, and everything's a thank you and positive. And even when the bad stuff happens, there's positives there. It doesn't shy away. The darkness is embraced. That Entertainment District battle. Yeah. Oof. The demons are demons, yep. Man. It is nothing to laugh about. But yeah, so you have made me a Demon Slayer fan. So I would absolutely listen to your recommendations going forward.
Yep. Actually, one of your recommendations came up, but I'll talk recently in a work conversation, but I'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Roll that dice.
Apparently, I'll talk about it now. Number six.
why would you talk about it now with the
bad dad jokes?
Oh, sorry. Our stuff up top is not in the same order as our stuff below. So I just went down to the bottom one and was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We probably changed some stuff out. So no.
Yeah. All right. Just kidding. Well, I'll talk about something else.
Dad jokes.
All right. I'm assuming you got that one. Okay.
I do. Why is dark spelled with a K instead of a C?
Why?
Because you can't see in the dark.
You like that way too much. You were laughing before you hit the stupid punchline.
Because I knew how you would react. Oh, I love it.
Roll the dice.
If the person listening isn't groaning, it's definitely not a dad joke. Oh, man. Number five.
Oh, yeah, daddy.
Oh, yeah, daddy.
Time for a commercial break. Donate to your daddy. Patreon.com/wiseinnerdy. Call your daddy. Leave a voicemail. Wiseinnerdy.com/call dad.
And it's time for that commercial break. Dance time. Dance time for time. Stupid. I kind of feel like I should play some Demon Slayer music after all I talked about it.
Oh, man. They have got some real good music in Demon Slayer. They do.
But this is actually better. This is. Oh, yeah. You were going to send me some Senpai Gaming videos about setting up.
Oh, yeah. I do need to do that.
And that music reminded me because Senpai Gaming is who made this music, and it's really awesome. So I dig it.
Well,
yet another thing that you...
He commissioned the music.
Okay. Well, that's yet another thing that you introduced me to.
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
I don't know
why. Oh, yeah, Dad.
All right.
Roll that dice.
All right. We have number 3.
Oh, I'm on card again. Here we are.
Bad Daddy.
Nope. That's not it.
You're a bad dad because you don't know which buttons to push.
This is it, yeah.
Advise me, Daddy.
All right, so it's let Daddy decide. Sometimes it's a hot take. Sometimes it's a would you rather. But today, the day I called an audible, and I threw out the joke because you had talked about soundproofing and the treatments and how much it would cost. It's so expensive. So I threw out, what's better, cheap or expensive? Because I knew you would have some thoughts on it.
So ultimately I think it depends on what you're looking at and what the goal is.
Okay.
So, cause there's a lot of times where the cheap option is not necessarily just as good, although sometimes it is, but it's good enough for what you need it for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause a lot of people, especially being on the digital media track, I've seen a lot of people who are getting into podcasting or getting into digital media in general, streaming, and they go real big and spend way more money than they really need to get these streaming setups. When there's a lot cheaper options out there that would have done just as good.
We didn't even use the word economical because cheap kind of has.
Yes.
There is a cheap thing that's trash, but like that beautiful piece of artwork that somebody lovingly gave to you behind you, that was economical. It is not cheap piece of trash. It is very well done, but it definitely was not like $2,000. It's like $1,500. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Joe.
So there's definitely times where cheap is fine, but then there's other times where you really, really shouldn't be cheaping out. Like if, for instance, and this is, I mean, relatively speaking, this is both are relatively cheap, but when it comes to something like deodorant, there's certain deodorants that give me a rash, even though they're cheaper.
Sure.
Well, I don't want a rash, so I'm going to go with the one that's just a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
Or certain types of food. You know, I could get the Great Value brand, but usually it tastes just a little bit worse.
I was going to say that. I cannot eat generic sized cheese. It has to be Kraft singles for me, man. I cannot do the knockoffs. It just is not right for me. But I can do generic and other things. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, but then there's plenty of other things where the expensive stuff isn't necessarily better.
Yes.
And
that's just what I was going to bring up. Now, we talked, I think, in the after show last week about our original pop filters, and I think mm-hmm. I talked you out of it. I absolutely built one on a stand like this where I could wire it and bring it up, but it's a little sewing ring. You know, it's a two-ring thing, and then basically child stockings. And, of course, I had kids that had outgrown them, so I had stockings around that. You make a little pop filter, and it works. We both talked about how we love that we made them, and we did it for relatively no money. This pop filter, because it's made by the company that makes my microphone, which I'm not going to name drop. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's not your business is what it is. But this is not a cheap pop filter. I think I paid $40 for this thing, which is insane. But it absolutely fits 100% perfect on my microphone because it's made by the same company. It's really thick, and it did exactly what I needed it to do when I bought it. So I felt it was worth the money. You brought up sound treatment because I'd put out a call for an audio installer for something else you thought it might be for the studio. And my very nice sound foam that's over there. I can go get it if you want me to, but the nice sound foam. You price it out. How much is 12 pieces, 1 inch or 1 foot by 1 foot, 12 pieces. How much is that typically?
Probably like $75.
Not quite. It is like, I think when I bought it, it was in the $40 range, which is still a lot you don't get a ton for that. That's what I'm saying.
Again, that also depends on brand because there is a wide variety of sound of acoustic foam and stuff like that.
And of course, I can tell you, to a point, it does different things. Like you get professional level acoustic foam, I can make this room sound dead silent. But I could also do it myself, like Dennis did. Dennis did a lot of his own work and all that. Now the nice looking panels that I had behind me in the other studio that will go up above me, that set, like I said, was in the $40 range. And that was the cheap ones, right? The economic ones. 12 feet. That's all it is. 12 feet of this foam. And it's $40, but it looks great. And it does the job. Then you remember my old studio. What was on the wall that people couldn't see?
Yeah, right in front of you. So behind your webcam was just the egg carton camping foam that you had stapled up on the wall.
Yeah, from Walmart. Well, and it was $10 a roll.
You and I were talking about my setup, my old setup. I literally had taken an old metal bookshelf, took all the shelves off, and set it up over my monitor and put a blanket over it.
Yeah, because
I didn't have money to buy acoustic foam at the time, but I knew that my sound wasn't that great. And I also wanted my microphone off my desk because we could hear anytime I bumped my desk or anything, we could hear it coming through the microphone. So I didn't want it touching the desk. And so on this metal shelf, I hung my microphone with twine. And then I had the
blanket around it.
Yeah. I've got a picture of it on my phone, but, and then I also had a homemade pop filter, just like you did, that I made out of, Country Time lemonade. The very top of it is metal. I took that off, took the cardboard piece off.
The rim is what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got, one of my wife's old nylons, wrapped it around it a couple of times and just tied it off and used some pipe cleaner to affix it to my microphone so that it was right there. And it sounded way better than what I had before, but it was still, it was cheap. I did it with stuff that was hanging around my house. It didn't look the best, but it worked.
And that's it, right? So talking about the treatment, the reason I bring up the stack that's over there, I told you a while back, I pulled up that app, Temu, and actually did I show you, I got a glow in the dark Batman ring, you know, it's really cool. I know it can't reach, but I've got this desk pad. I actually want to show it. So eventually, basically Temu is Wish for
nerd stuff,
all kinds of stuff. But that's, there you go.
Godzilla. Okay. I was about to wonder if it was,
it's especially wave. It's that wave that you're thinking of. Yes.
Yeah. 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 Where a lot of people have done different things where if you zoom in, it's like a whole bunch of Magikarp or, you know, whatever.
It's that wave. And then Godzilla's coming at that wave, throwing people and eating them and stuff. And it's huge. It covers half of my desk. I have an extra long desk. So it's like four or five mouse pads. Got like $5. You know, it's cool. And it does the job. It's just pretty. It ties my soundboard. I wish I could show you how I have it set up because the camera won't quite reach. But my soundboard kind of comes on part way. My keyboard sits right in front on top of it. So does my mouse. And it just ties it together as an art piece. It makes me so happy. You talk about OCD and both. This makes me so happy. So I thought, hey, let's just take a wild crack and see if Temu has soundproofing. Oh, they do. And it's like for the same stack. Now, I don't know if the quality is going to be any worse, but the amount is there. It's 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 inch. So the dimensions are exactly the same. And there's 12 of them in the pack. Actually, no, there's 24 in a pack for $18. So I'm thinking of ordering two of those and finishing out. But I went to Amazon, searched the same thing, and it's still in the $30 to $40 range at Amazon. So for the cheapest ones. So that's where shopping matters. And Joe, I think what you said is you got to want what you want and realize what you can get by with and what's okay. I can't think of what – I know there's stuff I need to be expensive, but I can't think of what it is right now. But there's certain things I'm like, no, I'm absolutely – well, like an electric car. I'm not going to get one I can afford right now. I'm going to wait and get a high-end one because I know what I want to do with it. Same with my motorcycle. I waited because I knew my motorcycle was going to be more expensive. Certain things in life, you get what you pay for. And I will not shop the cheapest soundbars anymore because it just hasn't worked out over the years for me. However, I'll shop the cheapest monitor. Because I'm not trying to like impress myself playing video games. I just need a whatever's the cheapest monitor on the market. Come on, let's go. So, overall, you married cheap, I married expensive. That's okay. Okay. I didn't know if that was going to go anywhere or not. You know what Mikey always says?
Roll that.
Kurt, what have I told you? I know Mike was on last week. But Joe and I both said, you got to up your game, man. You got to up your game. Stop jumping in.
Roll that dice.
Look, he put more emphasis on it. Come on, Kurt.
Number four.
Can you dig it? Why do you keep trying to cut the show short? Stop it.
But.
Oh, can you dig? Employee team building activities. I have to hear your stories because I think of everybody I've ever worked with and the answer would be no. I don't want to do weekend warrior crap with them. I don't want to do trust falls. But tell me why you threw this in, sir.
I mean, I would consider the picnic that I went to with you guys at that park. That's kind of a team building or camaraderie thing. But anyway, on Tuesday... my team, we got together for a morning meeting, a planning meeting. Like we physically went to the office, most of us. And then we went out for, a lunch and then we went to a place and did glass blowing. And so there's some team building stuff that I'm like, this is just pointless. But this was actually kind of fun doing the glass blowing, with our team. Apparently apparently my manager didn't like it, but everyone else seemed to like it quite a bit. He's the one that picked it. So, you know, whatever.
That's my manager. Odd. Why? But you think you'd want to do it.
This is what I made.
That gets you some stamina up in Tears of the Kingdom.
It does kind of look like that, don't it? So for our podcast listeners, I'm showing a little bauble that is green and white. Basically it's like an oversized Christmas ornament kind of thing that we made at well, it doesn't have an opening on it. Actually, I guess technically it has my sealed breath inside of it for all eternity.
Now you done messed up your kids because they're going to keep that. And at some point, and you're going to not be with them anymore. And
they'll break it open and take a smell of it. Oh, dad had bad breath.
Yeah. I just going to say they'll be brokenhearted when somebody breaks it. And now they don't have their dad anymore.
So actually the place we went to, they also will let you bring in ashes either of a pet or of loved one and turn it into glass artwork. So I thought that was kind of neat. My team lead, not my manager, my team lead.
The one that you don't get along with.
No, I get along with the team lead, the manager.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
My team lead said he might take his wife's dog's ashes and go and get those done. Cause they had one that it was a paw print glass thing that they would make. So it was kind of cool, but I liked it. My manager apparently did not like it. I think he was expecting more of a class. Whereas it was hey, let's do this activity was kind of, they gave you brief instructions. You did it and it was done. You got to talk and share experience. And I think he
popped in.
Posty Wong Kenobi. Awesome. And so I think he was expecting more of a class, and he also, so he's got an ego, and he was the only one where they had to refire his glass because he wasn't blowing hard enough. they kept getting after him. You need to blow harder. You need to blow harder. And he wasn't. And
Joe goes, he really is a blowhard.
Yep. Gotcha. Got him. Yeah. But actually, there was quite a bit of snickering off to the side when they kept telling him to blow harder.
You know,
but then they took it away from him, the molten glass, and stuck it back in the furnace because he wasn't blowing hard enough.
That's insane.
The only time in his life when he didn't blow hard enough.
So when you have a one-on-one with him, he starts getting your nerves, just kind of hold up your
my bobble.
Bobble.
Meep.
They're like, a little harder.
Earlier I mentioned that your recommendation actually came up.
All right. Daddy, tell me a story about my recommendation.
So during this at lunch, I was the last one to sit down and the only seat left was literally next to my manager. I was like, oh, great. And actually my team lead, he kind of joked with me afterwards out of earshot of the manager and was like, do we need to go to HR about, I couldn't hear your conversation, but was everything okay down there type of thing? I'm like, yeah, it was all right. My coworker that was sitting across from me, she had just taken a trip to India. So we talked about that a lot. We talked about our kids, you know, trying to keep it neutral and not talk about work. But I brought up, I was like, you know, my friend, he told me to watch this Indian movie. I wonder if you've heard of it. And
which one was it?
Like, RRR. It was the most animated I've ever seen our manager outside of talking about work stuff. And he apparently loves the director of RRR and has like watched all of his films.
I didn't really think about looking up the director. I might do that.
Yeah. So he loves the director. Apparently the director did a movie where a normal housefly is the hero and kills the villain in the end. And I don't know. That's just according to my manager, but he was very animated and apparently loves RRR and loves the director.
Well, now I'm starting to think you are the problem, Joe.
What?
I mean, come on. I mean, if me and him like the same movies, I'm starting to see his point. I'm just saying. I'm glad. Did you watch RRR, didn't you? Or you just remembered it? Okay.
No, I did.
Honestly, I've not met somebody who watched it that did not love it. It's just, yep. I don't know, it's just a good film.
Yeah. My wife, she has only seen one scene from it, which she calls she calls it the nacho song.
Yes, because that's whatever they're saying in their language sounds like nacho.
So according to the gal that was sitting across from me, whatever they actually say, it literally means dance. So dance, like they were just singing dance.
Got it.
So
yeah,
but yeah.
So well, I'm glad I saved you at your company outing. Team building.
It really did, because it there was some awkward silence there a couple of times, and so I was trying to figure out something to talk about that wasn't work, because I really didn't want to talk about work.
I probably would have enjoyed what you did. When I think of team building exercises, it's not that.
You think of like the trust fall and stuff or whatever. Right.
It's the dumb stuff. It's just dumb stuff.
Like in the office.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and especially in my office, they used to do a team building event where they called, it was only like 40 of us in the building. So they called everybody up to my department. We had the biggest space. once a month, and they would always celebrate an employee, and you'd get a little $25 or $50 gift card, but it was just a cool recognition moment. And they'd always start with, this person does this, and there's a game for everybody to start guessing who they're talking about. This person does this, and then it's all the same person, but they did, and then people start guessing it, and then they go, it's Joseph R. Ah, and everybody, it's just, it was kind of fun. Also felt like it's a waste of my bleeping time because I didn't care. And, and it was kind of, but because everything else they did, they were not a horrible company. I would not work for a horrible company. You know, you hear those stories of people who have managers that they have to get HR involved with and get on their one-on-ones, which doesn't make it one-on-one. But I don't work for a company like that. I won't do that. So that took too long for you to jump in, Joe. But
I was trying to figure out where you're going there. You meandered right into it.
Right, I did. I brought the bus right around. You just never saw it coming.
Let's put it this way. So you said that you might actually get along with my manager. My team lead, who I get along with quite well, he has to talk to our manager on an almost daily basis. He didn't used to have ulcers. He gets them quite frequently now.
Oh, that's never a good thing, man. It's never a good thing. Your health is important.
Yeah, so he gets ulcers. The lady in our department who's been at the company longer than I've been alive threatened to quit until she got pulled out from underneath our manager and now reports directly to our director. Like, and actually, we get a bunch of employees get together once a month on Thursdays to go out to eat. And that happened to fall this week as well. And, we were talking about him again and how basically no one likes him. So, yep.
Yeah.
Even after the team building, still nobody likes him.
Well, and that's not really the point of a team build, but it could be. But so the one that my company did, they started calling out a name, and instantly, three or four people went, it's Charles. They said something else. Oh, it's Charles. So everything they said, everybody was like, oh, it's Charles, it's Charles. It was not Charles. And it was very awkward for them. It was like, well, it's Dawn. I mean, after the fourth, they just stopped breeding, and it's Dawn. And because they played favorites, and he was one of their favorites. But everything they said, everybody was like, it's him. Oh, you deserve it. Charles. And when they said nobody cheered, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to clap. Okay. So, But the managers that both screwed me over and left, I took them before all that happened to axe throwing. And that was fun. And I guess now what I would consider team building.
I don't think my company would approve that.
Well, no, would throw the axes at the manager, I think.
We're not allowed to do certain things because of liability reasons. Like at one point, we had talked about having our team, this was before our current manager, so it has nothing to do with shooting him, but we had talked about going to do paintball, and they were like, no, we can't do that for liability reasons, blah blah blah. We're like, okay,
sure. And I didn't think about the
paintings. If we did it nowadays, I know exactly what happened. There'd be one person that's very painted up.
Mentioned, I forgot, you did come to the picnic that we put on for my company. That is a bit of a team building thing. You're right. And it's a family thing. I prefer, and you can't do it with everybody, but I do prefer basically eating and drinking. Yeah, quite literally, like Brian and I, and now Carol and a few other people, we go to these conferences twice a year at least. And while we're there, we make sure we get good dinners. Alcohol is flowing. It's never too much, but it's flowing. And oh no, Joe muted, but that daddy is yawning. He is tired of my stories.
No,
care about no alcohol, no conferences. By Jesus, that's the worst thing you ever did as a kid. That's it, everybody. Good night. Gotcha.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
It's about time you called your dad.
Good night, everybody.